Hey, John, how are you?
Hello. How are you?
Better now.
Have you ever heard that Dylan introduction to Meet James Ensor?
I have not.
Well, that is Bob Dylan talking about you.
That's exciting. Although he's not really talking about us, is he?
Well, in the very beginning, he says of it, he says you do his favorite song about James Ensor.
Oh, that's nice. Lovely.
Thank you so much for being so patient with our technical difficulties.
Yeah, no problem. I actually flaked at my 2:30 call, so it was convenient for me that you guys were in disarray.
Okay. Good to know. Well, I just wanted to let you know that since we started at 6 a.m. this morning, the requests have been crazy, and we have outdone last year momentously.
That's terrific. Congratulations.
We've heard from all 50 states. We have heard from 19.
That's insane.
19 countries, including all 7 continents, Antarctica included.
Wow.
Yep,
that's cool.
There is somebody up in Antarctica named John who is holding your They Might Be Giants instant fan club balsam wood airplane in a photograph that they sent us.
Wow. Well, that brings up a kind of interesting question, which is, can people just lie and say they're calling from somewhere they're not actually calling from?
This is an interesting question.
That is a possibility. However, we just kind of assume that They Might Be Giant fan are decent people. So
yeah.
we've been
that's,
trusting them.
That's very generous. You know that I'm in Antarctica right now.
Wow.
I did not know that. Well, we have been asking listeners to send in questions for both you and John. And are you ready for just kind of a round robin question kind of thing here? Uh-oh. Have we lost John?
He's thinking.
Are you still there, John?
Oh, I think we lost him.
No.
Oh.
What?
We'll try calling him back.
Come on, man.
He is in Antarctica. Maybe
that's
what he was saying.
Hello.
All right.
Okay, well,
we're going to try calling him back. Are you there, John?
I'm here.
Okay.
What happened?
Let's blame it on the Antarctica.
Yes, exactly.
Now we have we've asked our listeners to submit questions. Is it okay if we just kind of start firing off some of their questions for you?
That's fine. I'll give an evasive, oblique answer if I'm too scared to tell the truth.
No, and that's fine. And if it's a question you don't want to answer, just say next, please. That'll work.
I'll say something even more
crass,
evasive.
Okay. Well, Chantel, do you want to start?
Right. Hi.
So hello.
This first question is from Josh in Richmond Hill, Ontario, and he says, if you could create and host your own podcast, what topic do you think you would most likely go with? Could it be music-related or any topic of interest?
If I knew the answer to that, I would probably, there's some really great, just weird subjects that people come up with, and I guess you just have to be bold and assume that either no one's done it or people are actually going to be interested in it. But yeah, I don't know. I'd love to be that kind of person, but I can't think of anything interesting enough to like have like a weekly or regular, you know, chat about it. I just feel like I'm way too bored with myself in that regard.
Do you listen to a lot of podcasts? Are there any favorites that you have?
I listen to the ones everyone else listens to.
Okay.
Know? The ones you already know about. Like I mean I listen to the you know, what was it called? S Town was the abbreviation.
Oh, the Serial?
No, it was S Town.
Serial was another one.
The first one. That was
so,
a good one, S Town. Yeah.
It's like a developing mystery. I listen to Karina Longworth does the You Must Remember This sort of, Hollywood history.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that one.
She's good. And I listen to those. We're actually going to go up here on stage with the Political Gab Fest the Slate Political Gab Fest.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Nice.
And I've been listening to them for many years. I think actually Flansburgh introduced me to that one.
Fantastic.
Well, I have a question from...
Yeah, they're great. If you're interested in hearing people interrupting each other about politics, yeah. they're actually really... They're all really smart and interesting, and it's a good show.
But it's a lot more polite conversation than you hear about politics most anywhere else.
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Yeah. I guess one weird side note is I haven't yet to meet these guys, but I had a dream a couple of years ago that I was in a car and I was one of them. And
Whoa. And
it was a really weird dream because the guy who hosts the show was the driver, and he was driving like a complete freak and scaring everybody. And that was basically, the dream was like a metaphor in a way for the show itself, because he kind of is this challenging person. So yeah, I can't wait to tell them that I've already hung out with them in my dreams.
Well, we have a question from Oakley in North Carolina, who wants to know if you've always seen yourself going into music, and if you did not, or if the music plan didn't work out for you, what would your backup plan have been?
Oh, okay. Well, I think we've said this in the past. We started doing this when we had other jobs, but they were not particularly promising jobs as far as our parents would have been concerned. I was working in audio visual, working in a dark room and stuff. And Lance was working for Condé Nast doing pay stuff, which, you know, that might have led to, I suppose he could have wound up as an art director or something like that. But we were not really originally thinking that this was a career move for us. We just wanted to make up songs and record them and play them. And, you know, we figured we'd come up with some way to do it, even if we didn't make money at it. And you know, this, well, of course, this theory will be tested if the bottom ever drops out of our business. Because it's possible we will keep doing it even after we're, you know, wearing barrels and, you know.
I don't see the
all our stuff.
After today, I don't see the bottom dropping out of your careers whatsoever.
I hope not.
No.
Yeah. It's hard. It'd be really hard to start now, I think. And it's really hard for musicians who don't already have a fan base, because you don't make money really selling records anymore. And, mm-hmm. and it's hard. You know, just generally, it's not as lucrative a gig as it was 30 years ago.
Well, I have a series of questions from Seattle, and they're all for you. You have a lot of songs about death. Can you talk a little bit about why you want to write about it so much? If it is something
sure,
you're fascinated
yeah.
beyond just songwriting, and do you like to visit cemeteries?
I don't know about beyond songwriting. I don't know whether I have anything to say in any other format about it, but it is a really good topic for songwriting, I think. And part of it is that it's just so deep and mysterious that I never feel like it runs out of ways to talk about it.
Sure.
You know, it's just a really good subject. And I think maybe not everybody wants to hear all that much about it, but I think that if I'm enthusiastic about something, I'm just going to keep going on about it and hope that other people want to hear about it. And it's not the only thing we sing about, but it is a good one.
And she also wants to know if you could travel to any point in time, past or future, where would you go?
Well, unfortunately, like, there's a lot of, you know, do you get to come home?
Sure. Yeah, we'll allow that.
It's like
you
a
can
vacation.
Come home.
Are you just, you're just making up the rules now, right?
No. No, it'd be like, because some people believe that UFOs are actually time travelers, and they're like basically taking vacations, because so many people have said they see UFOs around major battles and things like that. So it's like,
yeah,
people doing
I wondered,
historical
I wondered
vacations.
Why they were, I was wondering why there were so many UFOs around major battles. There had to be an explanation. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I think there are big mysteries that it'd be really interesting to unravel. I'd kind of want to keep, I wouldn't want it to just be one. It's sort of like if you could have one record on a desert island, well, I'd probably kill myself. But if you could travel to more than one place in time, that would be great. And I'd have a long list of places, or times,
sure.
Places or times. Right. Mm-hmm. It'd be really interesting. You can make up your own answers by that, but because mine feel a little generic, but it'd be good to know, it'd be good to go back and track human evolution, for example. That would be one that just occurs to me.
Sure.
Because we know so little about it. There's mm-hmm. just so little. There's so little archaeological, what do you call it? Not archaeological.
What's so dependent upon the fossil remains
paleontological evidence. There's just not that many human remains. So you want to go find out what happened. There's that event where the dinosaurs went extinct. That would be interesting to actually see, for example.
And not also go extinct at the same time.
Yeah, not go extinct. No, you travel away.
You'd be safe.
You'd be safe. You'd go, I'm going to leave now. But, right. Yeah, I don't know. It'd be really fun to be able to time travel, no doubt about it.
I've had this conversation with friends. Is there like one concert that you could think of an artist that you would love to be able to have seen that maybe was before your time, or you're too young?
It's not just one.
Yeah,
not, I feel like
yeah.
that would be sort of, you like, I don't have this whole, I don't put all my eggs in the one basket, I suppose. There's things you're curious, you read about, like, I don't know, Fletcher Henderson, somebody like that. Like, apparently, the from what I understand, the recorded repertoire of the Fletcher Henderson Orchestra tells you nothing about how great their live show was. Mm-hmm. So I'm told. That's the legend.
Mm-hmm.
So, you'd want to go see the band in person. And I don't know which concert.
Well, I have a question from one of our friends who is actually heading up a cover band show of your music tonight. And he was here earlier, and he wanted to make sure to ask you this question, but then he had to leave. So it's a little long, but stay with me.
And he prefaces that as being nerdy.
He says, yes, nerdy question, but important. I've learned many of your songs, and a good number of them I find to be quite harmonically complex. You manage to write songs with 15 to 20 chords in them, unafraid of chord substitutions and key modulations, and they stay catchy, which is commendable. I have a pretty basic knowledge of music theory, so I sometimes find these songs challenging to analyze. Can you help? Can you tell me where this style comes from? Is there a genre or composer you found influential in this regard? Perhaps it's from formal study. I suppose it all comes down to your ear, but there must be something that precedes that. Please throw me a bone and help me gain a deeper understanding. Thank you for all you do.
Dear, well, I don't have an answer that's as long as the question.
Yeah, it is. It's a long one.
I don't know. I did get interested in music theory when I was a teenager. But I also, I kind of feel like the theory has to be put away at some point. That you don't want to be steeped in the theory and have that. I think there's a thing where the listener is not interested in how the thing necessarily was constructed. They want to enjoy the finished product, and they don't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think that theory is actually fun and interesting for the person doing the writing, but you never want to assume that that's going to hold people's interest, you know, right. that the theory is enough to like get other people going. So it's maybe it's like a partly like a just a weird fetish of mine and John Flansburgh's that, you know, we like to see how music is put together, but I think we kind of feel like we don't want to leave people in the dust. Like that could be, it could be incredibly boring to write music that's just theory based.
Okay. Tim, do you have a question?
Well, I was just thinking about how 2018 is going to be such a huge year for you guys. I remember, was it 2015, the last year, there was Dial-A-Song and you had all the releases.
And the touring and all the instant fan clubs.
And then you said you're going to take some time off. And now you're going to be back with Dial-A-Song and a tour and the Instant Fan Club. Tons of cool stuff in the Instant Fan Club. And we had a question from someone just wondering what you can tell us about the album that's coming out, the new album that's coming
out. Well, I can tell you one thing that we've already gone over this ground, which is there's a lot of death in the lyrics.
Yes.
Yay! Everyone's rejoicing.
In fact, definitely. What is the single that you've leaked? It's about I left my body. Yeah.
Yes. Although it's not so specifically about death, but there's a kind of a it has a little bit of that idea tossed in, because people apparently can have out of body experiences. When they don't die, they just go and visit Civil War battlegrounds.
And then they come back. Right.
Then they come back to their bodies.
Right. And so I'd seen that somebody had posted that Amazon is pre-selling your album under a different title called My Murdered Remains.
That's unfortunate. I didn't know that. that was the original working title of the album.
Okay.
And we kind of felt like, A, maybe a little too on the nose, and B, we were excited about that idea, and then we changed our minds. I wasn't aware that got made it out of the box at all. The name of the album is I Like Fun.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
That is much more upbeat.
That's a better title for an album.
It seems like you're not going to see crime photos with it.
Right.
Yeah, no, not at all.
So one of the...
Although I will say the line, My Murder Remains, is a line from one of the as yet unreleased songs. So you can look forward to that.
Okay.
Keep your ears open when you're listening.
No, I want to ask a question.
You'll go, there
it was. I want to ask a question about last year, and I know there's probably no way that you will recall this, but we interviewed both you and John Flansburgh last year, and both of you hinted at some big project that you were going to be doing for this last year that went by, and that was a big topic of conversation on a lot of chat rooms and amongst fans. And I don't know if it ever came out exactly what it was going to be, because you both said it was top secret, something you'd never done before. I think 99% of the people listening were hoping you were working on a Broadway play or a musical, which you both said, that's not it.
So that was a year ago right now.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I was wondering if it was the comic book, maybe.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
We did not come up with that.
Okay.
At that point, I had to think about this. So it was November of 2016.
Yep.
What could it have been? I think maybe I know, and if it's what I think it is, then it hasn't emerged yet.
Okay.
So you'll have to... It is a top secret.
You're leaving us on the edge of our seats for another year. That'll work.
Yeah, write that one down for next year.
I'm just going to say that's what it is, and it will you will know about it before the next time I speak with you.
Awesome.
In 2018. It will have crawled out of its egg by that time.
Awesome. Let's see. I was just kind of paging through. Do you guys see, because I know there's a lot of questions here.
Sure. Go ahead.
Anyone grab you guys?
Okay. Here's one from a listener, Joel in Nashville. My question is one of perspectives and voicing. How many TMBG songs are there in which two points of view are represented by one John's voice? Specifically, I can interpret Memo to Human Resources as a call and response, as each line alternates between two characters' perspectives, but all are sung by the same John.
Oh, so. Yeah, I don't know. Because Joel narrowed it down, I can no longer think of a single
song. Any other ones? Yeah.
I mean, there are songs where there's call and responses going on, but I can't think of one where it's. Oh, I know the song "Cloisonné," which is pronounced "Cloisonné" mm-hmm. in the song, has John Flansburg playing the role of the raindrop that he's singing.
Yes.
He's a character in the song, and then he sings to a raindrop. And then he does the voice of the raindrop singing back. Mm-hmm. That's the only one I can think of, actually, offhand.
I have a great question from Donald in Virginia. What do you consider to be one of your most underrated songs?
Underrated?
And this could probably be solo or what they might be giants.
Yeah, I mean, that would presume that I know how the song is rated. which I don't know how people rate them. I'd have to go on one of those You Rate It sites and find out.
Well, there I know that because I've been using it as a reference today when I get requests for things and I can't think of what album it's on. There's the TMBG. This might be a wiki, and they actually rate your songs.
They do. That's correct.
So if you want to throw one out there, I'll give you what the rating is. If you want like a testing means.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So, here's what I like a lot is the song. Actually, let me think of another one. Let me think of one that's a great song that nobody realizes is so great.
and they should.
I really like the song "Piece of Dirt." That's one of my favorites. I get emotional when we play that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Out of your 845 songs that they have listed, that is number 300.
300.
Yep.
Underrated.
An average rating of, I'm guessing from a 1 to 10 scale, 8.44.
Well, that's pretty high, though.
So that's a pretty high-rated song.
That's pretty high. I get the feeling this whole thing is kind of skewed a little bit, right? Like, 8.44 is how you rate the one that's at number 300. I think these are fans who are rating these songs.
Yes,
right?
They are, yeah. Now, but what about Piece of Dirt? Is emotional for you?
I'm going to start crying if I tell you. I don't know. It's just it's a beautiful song.
Yep, I would agree with you. It's not underrated in this room.
Okay, good.
Let's say.
Good.
I would say out of 845, it's in the top 100.
Excellent.
Okay.
I have a question.
Push the other song up.
I have a question from Lou in Chicagoland area. Asking if when you hit Chicago on this tour, if you'll be doing another AV Club appearance. And if so, would you consider doing Ace of Bases, The Sign, as a cover?
Well, we've done that. We played The Sign by Ace of Base in our live show. As the questioner may already know. No, we haven't got a plan to go in back to the AV Club. But we will serve.
I hope so. I hope that you do. Let's see. I haven't had a chance to look at the list.
Well, I think maybe do you want to have a question, Chantilla? Otherwise, I have something lined up too.
Oh, go for it.
Well, one of the most interesting things last year when we were talking to you was when we asked what you're reading right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to know what you're reading right now because you had some really interesting books on your bedside table.
Okay. Did we talk about this last year?
Yep.
We did. And I forget what it was.
What was I reading?
What was I reading last year? You were reading, it was some political biographies.
Ah, yes. I know what you're talking about. I was reading the Rick Perlstein series about the rise of conservatism. He wrote a book about Goldwater, and then another one about Nixon, and then one about Reagan. And I read all three of them. So what have I read since? Well, this crazy thing, Rick Perlstein actually wrote a thing in the newspaper about how he said none of his books make any sense anymore. He thought he understood politics, and then now he has no clue. And he said, all the stuff I was saying in those books is obsolete.
Wow.
But I haven't read anything by him since then.
Did he say, and thank you for spending time with my books, but forget everything you just read?
Let me just open my, I've got a little book list of my books here. I forget what I'm reading right now, but. Well, I see I have books that I haven't read yet that are
Do you take books with you on the road? Or do you do e-books?
I do, yeah. So I have purchased but not read Shadowbond by Steve Erickson. It's a really crazy book about how the World Trade Center reappears somewhere in the Midwest, and there's music coming out of it. And apparently Elvis Presley's dead twin is living inside of it.
Wow.
That's
a
interesting
funny one. It looks good. I haven't read it yet though. And then there's a Chinese science fiction book that's apparently hugely popular that maybe some of your listeners already know about, which I did start reading, but I've it's kind of like been on hold, called The Three Body Problem. Sort of a path.
I've heard about
through
this.
The Mao period. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Yeah. Are you enjoying it? Because I hear it's kind of a tough read.
It's tough, but I got distracted by something.
Sure.
So I put it aside. But yeah, it's about the story begins in 60s Maoist China, and it goes into the future. And at some point, apparently the aliens show up, and that's the science fiction part. And then Earth is obviously in a state of, it's kind of like the author is painting this picture of, you know, the Earth is not really in any shape to deal with aliens because we have our own problems. But I'm really reducing this book down to a speculative sentence.
Hmm.
You know what I read recently, which is great, is the Michael Nesmith autobiography.
You know he's getting together and doing some national...
He's doing the
first national
band
stuff?
Shows.
That's awesome. I love that song, Joanne. I think he's underrated.
Yes.
So, and the book is really great. He's a really good storyteller.
Is that the one with the crazy monkey cover?
Taken?
Is that the one with the crazy monkey cover?
It has a crazy monkey cover. It has
a monkey on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Infinite Tuesday is the name of the book. And he's making a point of writing in a non-cliched, you know, he's very much speaks in his own voice and does not, you know, it's not doesn't sound canned at all. It's like a really interesting, you know, thoughtful autobiography. It's an unusual celebrity biography in that regard.
There's a fan who would like to know what your favorite cartoon or animated series is.
Yeah, I'm not so. Maybe I'm not a good enough person to ask.
Or also animal.
I don't.
or animal.
Oh, your favorite animal.
Is that it?
Animal. If I don't have a cartoon, then do I have an
sure.
animal?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Right. Animal. I can't think of anything good to say. I can't think of anything interesting to say about that.
Okay.
Can I ask kind of a strange question? Because
sure.
We're going to be talking with John Flansburgh, and Somebody wanted to know if you had a question that you would like us to ask John Flansburgh.
Who does he think he is?
I'm writing it down.
I'll ask him myself.
Well,
don't ask him that.
Okay, I won't.
Should we do just one more question? And
okay.
Right.
You don't have one. Okay, one more from Derek in Scotland. What comes first when you're writing songs? Do you think of the lyrics and then the instrumentals, or the instrumentals and then the lyrics?
Well, for me, I can say almost invariably I make up the music first, but I'm not proud of that fact. John and I both really try and come up with different ways of working all the time, and I think that's an important part of keeping it interesting, is to try and come up with some completely fresh way of starting, or just some process that's not the usual. But I really do tend often to write the music first, and I think it's because that's usually the part I'm the most excited about. Occasionally I come up with a title, right? Like, and the title sort of forms the chorus in the classic song structure. You think of a chorus, like the words to a chorus, and that's also the title. And then you kind of build everything around that. And that's not as frequent for me, but that's another way of doing it. I'd say normally it's the music first. Mm.
So how long does it take to gestate a song for you?
Yeah, well, it varies quite a lot. And I think the good ones tend to happen pretty quickly. But there have been songs that have been, gone back into the shop a bunch of times, and
you ponder them.
What's surprising is, like, a lot of the ones that like Bangs, for example, went through a lot of revisions, and I have old demos that, it's like, or the Mesopotamians had many versions, that some with like completely different verses and structures and things. So there have been songs that I think worked out good, like they came out good, but I spent a long time tooling with them. And then on other occasions, it just, the whole thing sort of arrives more or less complete, and that's obviously really satisfying. It's,
yeah.
For someone as lazy as me, that's like, great, all the work is done.
Cool.
Well, I want to thank you so much, John, for taking time out to talk with us. And just know that you have so many fans that have been in touch with us throughout.
I love you guys for doing
these hours.
I super appreciate that everybody's doing this, and that you guys are doing this, and that there's enthusiasm and everything. And
super excited about 2018
or something.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Just taking time out of your day to talk to us is pretty amazing. And we really look forward to the They Might Be Giants coming to First Avenue in March. I was so disappointed. Yeah, March 15th. I was so disappointed because I was looking at the tour list and I didn't realize that it only went so far and then it cut off. So I saw the last date was Minneapolis and I thought, oh my God, when we talk to them, I'm going to totally ask them if they could come to Mankato after they're done with their last show.
It's only an hour away.
But it's not the last date of your tour.
We're marching
you keep
onwards,
going.
But
yep.
Yeah. Yes, but it is the Ides of March, I guess.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that the
yes, it is.
Beware.
Yep.
The Ides
so
of March.
So we'll be stabbed to death.
No.
Well,
No,
we won't. No. We'll
there you
fine.
Go with that murder stuff, I guess.
I can't get away from that.
Well, thank you so much, John.
Thanks again, you guys.
And do you have any requests that you want us to play?
Play all the songs. I love you guys.
How many songs have we played, Tim?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah, we've played 163 songs.
That's mental.
It has been a blast.
Well, I'm going to have to play Piece of Dirt, I think.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot, John.
We'll let you go before it gets too emotional on your end.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Talk to you again.
Yep. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.